What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
To feed you some more football here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, it's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Before we get to Derrick Henry, Roquan, and Namde, we've invited you to have lunch with us. And let's go to Woodbury and bring in Joe. Joe, thanks for holding. What's happening?
You know what's happening. Hey, you ever heard this saying? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. You ever heard this saying, chain is only as strong as the weakest link?
Mm-hmm.
And you ever heard Aretha say, chain of fools?
Yeah.
Hey, check this out. No, I want to say this, man. My worst loss for Ravens is when the Ravens beat the Ravens. I want you to think about that. Think about, has the Ravens ever been blown out off the field or just got their asses whipped? No. Their worst losses have always been when the Ravens beat the Ravens. So as long as they don't do that, man, they should be able to go all the way. And with this Mitchell thing, now I asked a quick draw. Before Mitchell got hurt, you know, last year, did they ever send him out on wheel routes? Because to me, he might be the fastest guy on the team. I like to see him and Flowers in a race once he fully gets healthy. But I'd send him out to loosen up the coverage. I'd send him deep. I'd send him through the middle. I'd send him on post, even if it's just a distraction to throw some balls underneath. I'm going to hang up, and y'all tell me some things about what y'all would do with him besides just kicking, running off kickoffs and punts. Take it easy, fellas.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call as always.
Yeah, the thing about it is with Keaton, you got Justice Hill back who does everything pretty well too. I would maybe have some, because if Zay's not there, another guy that I'd want to get in space maybe a quick screen type thing to him. But I would have, like, my plays that are specially designed for Keaton Mitchell for the game.
And we talked about the blowouts or lack thereof a couple weeks ago, since Lamar's been the quarterback anyway. I can't recall a time where they just got their pants pulled down and Heine spanked for 60 minutes. They've lost, obviously. But I cannot recall, Nolan, help me out, you know, I'm older now. I don't, 37-3 or 30-15 or something like that. Maybe a pull-away late kind of win like that, but where the Ravens never belonged in a game. I don't remember that.
No, that's been the calling card of the Lamar era. You're in every game, and I say it all the time, especially the primetime ones. That's the bigger thing. I mean, when you're there and the entire league is watching you, they've never had a letdown with Lamar. Qualify that. When Tyler Huntley was filling in while he was injured, that's a different story. But with Lamar out there, you usually know what you're going to get.
Well, hopefully we know what we're getting from Derrick Henry coming up 8 o'clock on Saturday. And here's Henry yesterday meeting with the media, how his mentality differs from the postseason to the regular season where he was really good.
It doesn't at all. I mean, I still got a job to do as regular season in the playoffs, but I think it's just, you know, we know what's at stake and we know what we got to do to get where we want to go.
Kind of a mild-mannered dude.
Hey, he did say he was excited for the game, right? But it, just say, hey, your job, whether it's week three, week 18, and certainly in the wild card, the importance is greater because if you lose, you're packing your trash bag the next day, and John Harbaugh and Eric DeCosta are meeting with the media next week.
See, and I just think that he's the type of guy, the more you give it to him, the more he appreciates it, and the better he gets, and the more times that he hammers those linebackers and DB, you see more guys falling off of them.
One of the nine Ravens Pro Bowlers, Nnamdi Matabike, makes it 2 years in a row. The defense has been outstanding. We'll talk about that bottom of the hour when Vinny breaks down the film there. But Nnamdi, defense playing good football right now. And how did all of this come about after that bottom out game against the Bengals?
I've always had that sense, but, you know, in every season you're going to go through your hills and your valleys and stuff like that. It's about just catching your momentum and keep going. And the guys in the locker room never gave up, and we're starting to catch our rhythm and playing good football right now.
He's hills and valleys. A lot of people are peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
I think
playing a playoff game this week, right?
I think Matabike is playing really good football right now. In the run and the pass, I think he's doing a good. He only have 6.5 sacks, but he's been impactful. I think, and I think he does a hell of a job in the run stuff. I think he's a nasty dude, too. He wants to hurt people. And as long as don't hit the quarterback late, Nnamdi, you know, he's been known to do that. But his pass rush and stuff, and he's explosive. And having Jones there, I think, helps him a lot, too.
Now, the Ravens lose the AFC Championship game last year, as we know, but held Kansas City scoreless in the second half. They didn't score a touchdown after the first quarter. So the defense brought it, still wound up falling a little bit short. So Matabike was asked if last year's playoff loss is even more of a motivator than just trying to win for yourselves.
It does as a motivator. It doesn't bring it off the much, but when it does come up, you know, Zio just talks about how that feels and how, you know, when the end of that game was, everybody was thinking about, man, what I could have done better or what I should have done to make us win that game. But now is the time to do it. Now is that time to capitalize on the things that you believe they should have done, so we do it the right way at this time. So,
right, and be totally honest, Bob, defensively, there wasn't a lot that they should have done to be better because they were outstanding. They kept the offense in it. It was the offense who had the issues last year. And if the offense corrects all of their mistakes from last year, then they're going to be dangerous. And now, because are you worried about the defense? Not as much as you were 6 weeks ago. Now you're feeling pretty good about it because they're playing really physical and they're playing fast.
Now the officiating crew for Saturday night's games led by Alex Kemp and his crew did week 7 against the Buccaneers. And you mentioned Matabike, you know, toning it down. He did get flagged for roughing the passer in that game. But the main thing to look at, as we've talked about it earlier, just tuning in, this crew, ton of offensive holding calls.
All right, who's going to – is that McCary, Bob?
McCary got two that game. Falele got one, and Ronnie got one.
Damn.
And Zay got one. How about that?
Ooh, so they had 5 offensive holding penalties. Well, like Harb says, when they were getting a lot of them, just keep your hands inside. Just keep your hands inside. Because what happens is, you know, like, say Derrick Henry bounces it out, and then you're blocking on the inside, and your D lineman goes to go chase, and then you grab him, and then they see that shoulder, and then boom, they're throwing the flag.
And lastly, here on NFL Lunch, before we get Ryan Wilson in here, Roquan Smith was asked about playing the Steelers for the third time.
We know what they're going to do. They know what we're going to do. So it's going to be about the best man win. Got a lot of respect for the guys. Russ has been doing it for a long time. Running backs run very hard. Tight ends make plays. Obviously, Pickens on the outside. And O-line play well together. So, you know, excited about the matchup. They know us. We know them. So it's going to be about the best man at the end of the day.
And Roquan plays good against the Steelers. I mean, I think he's had 10 tackles in the games, and he's played well, and he's been playing well as of late. He's been playing fast, explosive. He looks like we thought Roquan would look like. He doesn't look heavy. He doesn't look slow. He's flying around making plays, I'll say that.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll preview the wild card matchups with him when we return. By the way, according to ESPN Bet, the spread still holding strong at 9.5 in favor of Baltimore. And the other NFL news going on this week. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense as they get ready for a Steelers offense that isn't scaring anyone right now. Then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over too. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny, Haney, Nolan here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He is on the Window Nation guest hotline, joins us every Wednesday. CBSSports.com, Ryan Wilson. Ryan, first of all, what is happening?
Perhaps Chain of Fools is the proper walk-up music for me, so I appreciate that.
No doubt. I mean, we're always looking ahead here on 105.7 The Fan. Ryan Wilson, quickly, MVP of the league, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, who you picking? Explain.
I'm gonna go with Lamar. Josh has been spectacular, and I've gone back and forth on this, and it is an incredibly close race, and I think both guys are deserving. I wonder if part of it is Lamar fatigue and that he keeps winning these things, and Josh has yet to win one. You take either one of these players away, these teams win 4, maybe 5 games, and you can say, yeah, but the Ravens have Derrick Henry. Yeah, but James Cook's stats are pretty legit as well, so it's hard to make that argument. Both receiving corps, I don't think anyone would confuse them for the best in the league. They're good, but not great. The tight end group is really good for both teams, and both quarterbacks are incredibly valuable to what the teams have done in terms of wins and losses. But I'll go with Lamar, even though, you know, as a Steelers fan, I would like him to throw 8 interceptions. But as I was telling Nolan, if I'm a Ravens fan, I have very little worries about this weekend.
Oh, I think it's going to be a dismantling of epic proportions, but we will do our official predictions on Friday. But Ryan Wilson, Lamar 2-4 in the playoffs, 1-3 at home. Steelers, as you know, being a Steelers fan, they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. I think Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger were still doing their thing. So what's going to be what fan base will be more angst-ridden on Monday if we're sitting here at, like, Steelers lose another playoff game or Lamar loses another one at home?
Oh, the Ravens fans. I mean, I think Steelers fans have come to terms with the fact that this team is better than last year, but still not a team that's going to make a deep run in the playoffs. I think they were under those delusions maybe a month ago when they were 10-3 or 10-4. And then they lost 4 in a row against 4 really good teams, 4 teams all in the playoffs, and none were particularly close. So look, man, the Bengals being the exception, obviously they should have won that game in week 18. And the Bengals, I've been high on Arthur Smith, his performance as the OC for much of the season. Week 18 had me a little soured. He's got to quit throwing toss sweep to Najee Harris on first and 10, because you lose 2 yards and then that just blows up the series. I would like to see a little bit more in terms of trusting Russ, and maybe part of that is George Pickens. You don't know which George Pickens is going to show up to work that day, and it got so bad during that Week 18 game, I was thinking to myself, are you even going to re-sign George Pickens the way he's playing? Because not only was he sort of doing the weekly pouting thing, he was dropping passes. You can have one, but not the other. You can't have both. So I think Steelers fans understand that this would be a Super Bowl of sorts were they to win this game in Baltimore, given how the last game played out earlier this season. And if you're a Ravens fan, you have to be thinking about the Super Bowl. And if you lose this game, I mean, I would imagine, and you guys would know better than me, fans will be calling in asking for folks to get reassigned new jobs.
Oh, big. And yeah. Lamar's overrated, all right. of that nerd.
Now,
stuff.
Speaking of that, Ryan, say the Steelers lose and the Bears call the Steelers and ask Bears. If they were willing to trade Mike Tomlin.
I thought you were going to say Arthur Smith or something.
No.
Mike Tomlin. Listen, man, we got one show in town, and it's Mike Tomlin. You can't get rid of him. What are you going to have? Here's what I'll say to that, Vinny, and I think this is sort of dovetails with the Mike Vrabel conversation. Part of me wonders if the Titans wish they had a time machine to go back and keep Mike Vrabel, because he's more of a CEO type. He's more like in the Dan Campbell / Mike Tomlin mold. And we talk about this every time this year. The coordinators are promoted to jobs with which they have not been prepared for. When you go from OC or DC to the head coach, it's a completely different animal. And John Harbaugh is a great example of that. He's a guy that was sort of in obscurity as a special teams coach, but he understands what it takes to run an organization. And a lot of times when these – Josh McDaniels is an example of the other side of that coin, a fantastic offensive coordinator, continues to not do great as a head coach, whether in Denver or most recently – with the Raiders last year before he was fired. So it would have to be like Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, Montez Sweat, and 3 first-round picks just to even answer the phone call. Because I know fans are frustrated with Mike Tomlin, but I'll just say this, and this is an indication of how important he is. If you fired Mike Tomlin, how many minutes? I'll set the over-under on minutes. 10 minutes, over-under until he's hired by another team.
Oh, yeah, under.
Right. So you got to start the conversation there, because you don't have a plan B as a coach. In terms of replacing the guy that you're frustrated with, it doesn't even make sense to answer the phone call, I don't think.
All right, speaking of coaches, does Bill Belichick coach a game at North Carolina?
I think June is the where his contract changes to where it's only $1 million buyout. I don't know if there's going to be an NFL team interested in him, because it feels like we're going away from the sort of the silo situation where you have complete control of the roster and you're the head coach, and because that doesn't seem to work. I don't know if there's going to be an owner interested. Of course, it only takes one. And
Tom
getting
Brady.
The services, you say, but they didn't leave on the best of terms, and it became quite clear who the most important person was in that organization once they departed for Florida. And I don't like saying that out loud too often because people get angry, but the proof is in the pudding. Maybe Mark Davis has a say in that, but I'll ask you guys this. Would you rather have Bill Belichick if you're Tom Brady in Las Vegas or Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I'd rather have Vrabel. Sounds like Vrabel, though, you may know, Ryan, sounds like Vrabel's going to be offered the Raider job tomorrow. The Patriot job tomorrow.
Oh, I had not heard those details. My buddy Rick Spielman is obviously helping. He and Mike Tannenbaum are helping the Jets find a coach, and they had interviewed last Friday, I believe, Mike Vrabel. I just wish they'd hire Mike Vrabel so Rick can get back to work, but I don't think that's happening according to your report here.
Hey, Ryan, now, because the quarterbacks, they don't – you know, we've got the draft order. A lot of people need quarterbacks, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people think that the quarterbacks deserve to go where they should go.
Yep, no, that's right. And, you know, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but we'll be talking about it going forward. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are the top two quarterbacks. They were in last year's draft class, and we were evaluating all these quarterbacks coming out a year ago this time. They would probably be no better than QB5, maybe QB6. Obviously, Bo Nix surprised a lot of people, myself included, so maybe he moves up a little bit. And then the question becomes, knowing that, would you, as the Tennessee Titans, take one of these quarterbacks with the first overall pick? Because you are, by definition, overdrafting them. But the Titans have a need. The Browns have a need. I don't know if Shedeur Sanders, should he be selected by the Cleveland Browns, would be interested in going to Cleveland, but we'll see. Vegas at 6 has a need. The Jets at 7. Even the Saints at 9. So there are going to be a ton of teams. And I want to see if this happens, because when you talk to scouts in the summer, Cam Ward was probably late day 2, early day 3, more likely in terms of where he was slotted to go, and Shador maybe a little higher than that. But there are teams that have different opinions on these guys. But to your point, you're going to have to do a lot of talking to yourself to convince you to take these guys 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something like that. I want to see if it happens. I want to see if they slip a little bit. If the Tennessee Titans try to trade down and stockpile some picks and maybe find a quarterback even later, 3 or 4 or 5, should move down a few spots. But your point is a good one, Vinny. We'll see if teams want to overdraft these quarterbacks because they're not as good as last year's crop.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining us here, Vinny, at Haney 105.7 The Fan, as he does every Wednesday. All right, last thing, Ryan. In the AFC, you have two hefty favorites, Ravens and Bills, and a home dog in Houston. NFC, things are a little more bunched up with the spreads. Philly -4.5, Tampa laying 3 against Washington, and Minnesota laying a 1 against the Rams. And remember, Minnesota lost in L.A. earlier in the season. Where is our upset coming from if there's going to be one wild card weekend?
The long shot is, can the Broncos hang with the Bills? Because they have a good defense, and I think Bo Nix's legs are going to be an important part of what they do. But I'll go to Los Angeles. Where that last time they played Week 7 or Week 8, there was a face mask penalty that wasn't called in the end zone that sort of set everyone off. But I think the Rams are way better now than they were then. They're healthier. They're running the ball better, fewer turnovers. But the thing I'll say is I'm really concerned if I'm Kevin O'Connell about the way that Sam Darnold played in Week 18. Are you going to get the Weeks 1 through 17 Sam Darnold, or are you going to get the see and go Sam Darnold? Because if it's the last one, this game could actually be a blowout because they've done a lot of things well this year. But Darnold makes you a little nervous when you see him play the way he played last weekend.
Would you trade Tomlin for Kevin O'Connell and J.J. McCarthy?
No. Justin Jefferson, maybe.
He's Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday and enjoy the games. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. There he is, Ryan Wilson, everybody. It's Vinny to Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. How about a little film breakdown of that Ravens defense? Looking good against Cleveland. Looking good, quite frankly, since that first Pittsburgh game. Can they maintain the momentum against a Pittsburgh offense that's really struggling to do anything positive? Then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over, too. It's Woman Crush Wednesday here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Last hour, Vinny broke down the Ravens' offense on film, their performance against the Cleveland Browns. Now we get to the area of the team that was a big concern for the vast majority of the season. Started to turn it around. That first Steeler game, even though they lost, held them without a touchdown. They kicked, what, 8 field goals? Six field goals. Mm-hmm. Chris Boswell going nutty in that one. But it is now playing like a playoff-worthy, ready defense. Let's find out why. Film study.
Yeah, I thought the defense, you know, coming into the game, I mean, it was 20-point spread, and Bailey Zappi was going to be the quarterback, and you didn't have Njoku. You don't really have a running back, and I think they handled them appropriately. I thought they took the fight to them. I thought they played fast. I thought they played aggressive. I thought they played physical. And I thought they were having fun out there. And the D-line, thought D-line dominated. I mean, they were trying to run the ball. They didn't get knocked off at all. They did a great job keeping their shoulders square, you know, and just hanging in there. And then the linebackers thought, you know, I think Malik Harrison, that first play of the game, he cannot drop and turn into coverage. He looked like an old man trying to get back into coverage where they hit the tight end down the middle of the field. But him coming up and taking on the guards and stuff in the run game, he thought he did a nice job in that. And that's what he can do. But I'm afraid that whoever's playing that other linebacker spot, the middle of the field could get exposed with the linebackers on play action pass. But Malik played, I thought he played well in the run stuff. And thought Roquan had a hell of a game. I thought he was playing fast, and I thought he was playing aggressive, and he was playing very physical. And, I mean, his instincts, and, you know, he had 10 tackles in that game too. And then I liked how Zach Gore called it, like the stunts and twists that they ran. I thought they were effective. Vannoy, he got his $250,000. He got knocked down, got up, and got the sack. So I thought Owe had a good game too. So I thought the front guys really played well And Michael Pierce thought he played good in the run stuff, and he got a pick, you know, which was pretty impressive.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just hard to knock off the ball because they're so big and they're strong and they can play fundamentally, which they play low and they can punch, lock out. So they're going to be dangerous people. Unless you got old linemen that are going to really come off and knock people, you're not going to knock them off the ball. And it's hard for them, their guards or centers, to get up onto the linebackers, which really helps Roquan.
Now, for Roquan, first few weeks of the season, he wasn't playing that well.
No.
And he kept saying, you know, this is just an aberration, paraphrasing it. And it just kept getting worse and worse. Then the light switch came on for him. Maybe he was a little girthy.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, but why Roquan now playing like the all-pro that he is and has been, as opposed to where he was earlier in the season? Was that a Trenton Simpson thing, perhaps?
If I'm a betting man, Bob, I think that putting Hamilton back there and handling all the communication on the back end relieved Roquan of a lot of things that, you know, instead of having to tell the secondary guys, the front guys, and Simpson what to do, it's like, you just handle the guys in front of you, I'll take care of the rest. And I think that allowed him to play so much faster. Because he's playing, ever since Simpson, Bob, Simpson was gone, and Hamilton went back, and all of a sudden, Roquan's back. So there had to have been something with that.
Yeah, because he was rather disappointing.
Yes, he was.
Early in the year, based on, like, the guy's set a high bar for himself. But now starting to see him perform like the great player that he is and is playing like right now. Now the schedule.
Oh, hold on. I got to finish the second.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that.
Yeah. The thing that's a little concerning, Bob, is with Kyle, he's got those nick, some, you know, like, I was shocked to see on the injury report knee. I could have seen shoulder or something like that, because that's what it looked like he left the game with,
yeah,
was shoulder. So that's a little concerning. But the dude's all over the place is what I like. In Washington, he's got great instincts and great feel back there, too, and he'll tackle. Wiggins got his first pick six. That was a real nice play. Cover two. You know, Bailey Zappi just said it. You want a pick six? Here you go. The one that still concerns me, though, is Stevens. He still concerns me. You know, he got PI. He gets, you know, he still can't find the ball. That's the biggest concern I have with their defense is Brandon Stevens. You know, and if they're sending Pickens deep and the Ravens are going to send him one-on-one, Pickens going to win that one. And that's what's scary to me. But otherwise, the defense, they're ready. They're ready.
And we talked about Marlon Humphrey early in the show. Playing his best football in 5 years.
I love the way he's playing. I mean, Bob, he was knocking balls down and tackling. He did miss a couple tackles late in the game, but I thought early on. And he'll be big on Saturday night in the run stuff. He's going to have to make some plays in the run game up there. So, yeah, I'm excited about the defense.
Now, playoff schedule is as follows. Saturday, two games. Ravens and Steelers. Ravens 9.5-point favorites. 8 o'clock kickoff. We will be at Brew Brothers at the Horseshoe Casino, brought to you by Rice Mirth and Pesaurus, starting at 5 o'clock. So come on down if you're going to the game and say hello to us. But the early game Saturday, Chargers at Houston. Chargers 3-point favorites there. Three games on Sunday, 1 o'clock in Buffalo. Bills 8.5-point favorites over the Broncos. 4:30 up in Philly. Packers getting a 4.5 against the Eagles. Jordan Love going to go. Where's Jalen Hurts in regards to recovering from the concussion he suffered a couple of weeks ago? Commanders at Tampa Bay. And Tampa's 3-point favorites here. And by the way, there are a bunch of rematches here. Ravens and Steelers, third time. But Philly played against Green Bay season opener in Brazil.
Yeah.
And the Eagles won that one. High-scoring game, 34-29. Washington opened their season at Tampa and lost 37-20. And we talked about this with Ryan Wilson a couple of minutes ago. Minnesota and the Rams played on a Thursday night, and the Rams won that one 30-20 back in October.
So if a team lost, biggest disappointment would be, I'm guessing if a team lost, either Buffalo, if Buffalo, Ravens, or Eagles, any of those lose, that would be a huge disappointment.
It would be disappointing in many different ways, for sure. But I see Buffalo hosting the Ravens, probably at 8 o'clock on next Saturday or Sunday night.
I would tend to agree with you on that one,
The
Bob.
Two MVP leaders. I mean, this is a regular season award. That game will have nothing to do with it. But, you know, it'll all go to the discussion as to who deserves or not.
Yeah, and then you got, Kansas City versus Herbert, too. That'll be a good one, but not the pizzazz of Allen and
now Lamar. Minnesota and the Lions, if the Vikings advance, that could be an interesting divisional
round two game. But it was 31-9. Yeah, and well, we'll see how Darnold plays against the Rams, because he stunk it up. He couldn't handle pressure.
No, and he was missing open receivers and overthrowing him. It was a pretty shoddy performance for a guy that deserved a lot of credit for them being in that situation in the first
place. But Bob, just think about it. If you're Vikings people, all right, and you, prior to that game, I mean, you're carrying him on your shoulders and doing all that stuff in a locker room. Then he stinks it up. And then say he has the same type game against the Rams that he did Detroit. Then it's like, JJ!
Yeah, it affects market value in the offseason, too. Now, if he goes on a Flacco-like run, then JJ McCarthy might be available for trade.
No doubt.
In the offseason. Nolan, you want to get this call now or you want to wait? Let's do it. Let's go to Towson. Bring in PT. PT, thanks for holding your own. Vinny and Annie and Quick Draw.
Quick Draw, thank you very much for slipping me in. Happy birthday to the Bobster.
Oh, thank you, PT.
You are a Baltimore institution. You are a Baltimore institution, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you
very much.
Whether
you like it or not, my man, you are truly that.
I'm like the wind, man. I go with the flow.
You truly are. You're every person I talk to is like, they love the Bobster. But anyway, I digress.
Correct.
My present to you, Bob, is UConn is getting 1.5 tonight at Nova. Right? Ooh. Forget about it. Hurley is 4-0 facing Neptune as the Nova coach.
Yeah, and Hurley's been running hot since those early meltdowns. And it would help Maryland if Villanova won, PT, as you know, but I wouldn't bet the house on it for sure.
No, but they are coming off the Providence win. And that it was a tight game and it shouldn't have been. So Hurley's upset about that.
Right.
I think it's a good setup, but let's face it, I lose as much as I win. So, but I do like UConn tonight. Excellent. That's for sure. But anyway, listen, I just want to say happy birthday and I really appreciate it. And you guys have a great show and Bob, you have a great evening.
All right. Thank you, PT. And I appreciate the kind words, no doubt about it. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse with Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock as we wrap up this program. Don't forget tomorrow, Total Request Thursday. What does that mean? Well, you pick the songs, hence the name Total Request.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this texter here who says the Ravens absolutely need to grow an early lead on Saturday, not just for my own sanity, but because this texter says they still don't trust Justin Tucker to hit a crucial field goal in a close game. Goes on to say, I think some of Harbaugh's fourth down decisions from last Saturday were a product of not trusting Tucker in that wind.
No, I don't agree with that. I think that was a product of we're a lot better than this team and we're going to try to end it early. I think that's what that was. They weren't afraid at all of the Bailey Zappi.
And we're fully past all the struggles at this point that, you know, if it is a close game and say you're right there around 50 yards out for a field goal, there's no hesitation, send him out there?
Well, the last time against Pittsburgh, he made a 51-yarder, drilled it right down the middle. So, I mean, he's made 21 in a row. He's got to feel good about it. So if he feels good about it, then I feel good about it. I'm much more confident. Like if he's going out there to kick now, I'm like, who'd we have on? Childs, was it? Mm-hmm. An 8 or a 9? I'm more like that where I was like a 3.
If he misses a game winner, we'll all be crying like children.
We'll think back. It'll be Cundiff.
Let's not revisit that. Oh, my God.
Glenn in Hamden says, I think there's a little silver lining with Flowers likely out. He says he wants more big guys out there, more tight ends, especially a little extra help blocking because TJ Watt, you know he's coming. He's going to be playing big boy ball. The Ravens need to follow suit.
Well, the thing I would disagree with that is Andrew stinks as a blocker. You know, so it really doesn't help you having a lot. Charlie Kohler will help. Likely on the perimeter helps. Andrew's blocking? No. But Andrew's in the playoffs this year. He's ready to play, you know, as a wide receiver, and he'll make some plays. What, he's on a heater, too, isn't he? Doesn't he have six straight games with a TD?
Oh, mm-hmm. Andrews?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Give me a TD.
Yeah.
And as far as Watt, the last time the Ravens and Steelers met a couple weeks ago, I don't remember Watt being a game
record.
He had
that ankle, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he played well against the Bengals. You know, I mean, he got off the ball and stuff. So they'll have to account for him. And Highsmith, too. And Ronnie had some problems with Highsmith the last time.
Matt in New Orleans says this is going to be a huge game for the Ravens' safeties on the back end. They've got to realize the ball is going to be coming Brandon Stevens' way all night long. Get some extra coverage and help over his direction, please.
The guy they got to worry about, Freiermuth had a big game last week against Cincy. And they threw it in the middle of the field a lot. They threw it a lot to him. So, yeah, I would think that they're going to attack. I mean, the first pass they threw, first play of the game last time they played, where'd they attack? Down the middle of the field. And they completed it. So I think they got to be ready for two things. Middle of the field and deep to Stevens.
And last here from Howard in Baltimore, checking in to call the Steelers frauds yet again. It's become a calling card for Howard in Baltimore. But he says four losses in a row prove that much that they are fraudulent. Just look at their game against Cincinnati. They were in the game only because of Bengals miscues. Meanwhile, their offense, extremely mediocre, can't even score 20 points. Can't wait to see them come to Baltimore so the Ravens can finally put them out of their misery.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals, I mean, would hit the guy's foot on the punt or whatever, and they got the ball in great field position and really couldn't do much with it. And then at the end of the game, that was horrible. But they needed a field goal to tie, and Russell Wilson had some brain farts there.
Oh, speaking of this 19 All-Star game real quick before we leave, Luis Castillo is pitching for the Reds. You know, he just got the third out. Luis Castillo, now with the Mariners. Luis Castillo, linked to the Orioles. Could Luis Castillo be pitching in an All-Star game for Baltimore in 2025? Only time will tell.
No, because Charlie Morton's going to be starting the All-Star game for the Orioles.
I'd like to make a little wager on
against
that
Corbin Burns.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Coming up next is Inside Access. We're back tomorrow at 10 for Total Request Thursday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, last dismissed.